We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are supposedly, or we will be soon, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here today, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours. We'll see if we can get this thing connected here. But for the time being, we'll do it over the phone. We are live here on Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio, all of the other network affiliates as well. Talking all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, and that includes the WWE Night of Champions pay-per-view, which is taking place today. It'll be kicking off live in 2 hours, and we'll be getting into all of that here on the show today. We got a lot of big matches on the show, and it's going to be a fun time. We'll take your phone calls as well. The phone numbers are available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com if you would like to give us a call, and we'll get into that. Mike, are you there?
I am here.
There we go. What's happening?
Not a whole lot. Everything now fixed and all straightened out?
No, but we're going to do our best here. Live radio, everybody. We do the best we can. Let's talk about this show here, the double main event for the Night of Champions show. Obviously, we have two matches, those being the WWE World Heavyweight title match, Seth Rollins versus Sting. We've got the WWE U.S. title match, Seth Rollins versus John Cena, both titles on the line. And the odds, the long odds for this show are already in. And keep in mind, everybody, anything can change. Some people get very, very angry. They accuse us of giving away spoilers when we talk about the odds. But the reality is these can change at any time. And you also don't know what the finishes are. For example here, just because John Cena is a favorite over Seth Rollins, and he is, 45-1, doesn't mean he's going to win the title. It only means he's going to win the match. He could win via countout. He could win via disqualification. But with that said, the odds for the match, John Cena a 45-1 favorite over Seth Rollins in the U.S. title match. And in the WWE title match, Dolph Ziggler is a 135-1 favorite. Wait, what am I talking about here? That's another match. Seth Rollins, 60-1 favorite over Sting. So as we'd been predicting, it looks likely that Sting probably will lose the WWE championship match, and Seth Rollins will lose the U.S. title to John Cena. And Mike, any thoughts on those matches?
Big audio nightmare level start to this program. I didn't need all those fancy odds to come up with that. I think the only other option that you could possibly have is it's the theme, it's a bad night for Seth Rollins, where he were to lose to Sting and then go on lose to Cena, probably show up on Monday night, get berated by Stephanie. They go back and forth. Maybe even Kane comes back to beat up Seth just to make his weekend even worse and put the exclamation point on it. But in that case, then you have to have Sting probably not have too long of a reign. In theory, I guess you could have him go till the Royal Rumble, but I would think at some point you're going to have to do something with Sheamus. And the most obvious thing, if Sting were to have the belt, would be have Sheamus take the belt off of Sting, because I don't think Sting would have any problem whatsoever winning the title and dropping it to Sheamus. I don't think Sting cares about politics, and it's pretty obvious that the fans don't care about what Sting does, as long as every couple of months they get to see Sting. At least right now, that's how this is going. It could change, but that's also a lot of fantasy for me, because I think the most obvious thing is going to happen is, like what most people believe, Sting loses to Seth Rollins.
That's pretty awesome. Okay, hold on, everybody. There we go. Everything turned down now? Are we good, everybody?
Hey, somebody just, John in Arkansas just had like an acid trip flashback or something, and it's coming back.
Okay. That strange noise right there. We are connected to Sports Byline USA. And so I think soon we'll be going over the airwaves and everything will be great. And I can hang up on Sports Byline. So I'm going to try it right now. We should be going live. And if not, they will be bringing us up here very soon. So I feel like, remember that AAA pay-per-view where Matt Stryker was asking people on Twitter for feedback?
Yes. Can you hear us? How do we sound? How's everything going? Yes, the disastrous AAA pay-per-view, which while nobody's listening to us right now, I will juxtapose with the, from what I heard at least, was a very good CMLL show. I saw the main event, and I could rant and rave about that, probably worse than Dave Meltzer, about the fact that La Sombra lost his mask. And tradition is killing tradition, unfortunately, in Mexico right now with Atlantis.
That's right. Let's start all over again here now that we're good to go.
Take two.
Take two, everybody. So, yes, we've talked about the World Heavyweight title match. And this means, by the way, that we are going to be here live for 2 hours. Everything seems to be handled right now, so we're good to go. I've already got a million people calling on the phones, and I don't even know why since we haven't opened up the phone lines yet. But we'll get to that here in a while. Anyway, this pay-per-view, let's get back to where we were going here. We have two championship matches, as noted. We've got long odds for both of them. The gist of the story is no surprises in those two matches right there. Nikki Bella versus Charlotte for the Divas title. The odds for this match, Charlotte a 135-1 favorite. And as is the case with all of these odds, doesn't mean a whole lot. All that means is that Charlotte will have her hand raised. Doesn't mean she's going to win the title. She could win via disqualification. She could, and the disqualification could be Paige. Perhaps interfering and costing Nikki Bella the match via DQ. There's a lot of ways this can go. Do you expect a title change on the program today, Mike?
I do. We've had we've had Nikki Bella break AJ's streak. We've had the whole women's revolution kind of smash into a wall, and I know they're not oblivious enough to understand that that has happened. It's time. They have had a celebration that nobody showed up for. It's time for Charlotte to win the title. It's time for the title to at least come off. Or it's time for a great big storyline that makes sense and is well-defined and has got parameters and is leading us down a path somewhere. And you can do that if you have Paige turn on Charlotte, cause the disqualification, cause something to happen, cause her to be bumped off the apron or run into her on the apron, and Nikki's able to roll her up, and we get a big surprise that way. You could do that, and then you could have, let's just say, because I think she's actually submitted her in a tag team match, you could have Becky Lynch go after Nikki, and then you can actually start splitting these women off and maybe, you know, pare down on to Tamina, pare down on Naomi, or at least give Naomi a path as you figure out what you want to do with Sasha Banks. You have options there. There's the one thing about this whole thing with the women's revolution. A lot of it has sucked, but it can be saved individually with these women. And no matter where they go tonight, they got to come out of it with a story. Either Charlotte takes the belt off, or we have the implosion of the women and we go into these defined one-on-ones, which it probably should have been from the beginning, with competition being the thing that matters.
Well, it has been brought to my attention that, in fact, there is going to be a title change tonight if these odds are correct, because you cannot... the title's going to change hands regardless of the finish. If it is a count-out finish, if it is a disqualification finish, the title changes hands. So if Charlotte gets her hand raised tonight, per the stipulations, she will be the new WWE Divas Champion. So, Ryback versus Kevin Owens for the Intercontinental title is on this show. And the odds for this match, Kevin Owens a 45-1 favorite, which is interesting because last night when I checked the odds, Ryback was the favorite. So there has either been a change in plans or there has been a change in finish. We'll talk about this one after the break as well as all of the others. And we'll be taking your phone calls here in a bit as well. If you want the numbers, 1-800-878-PLAY is the byline number. All of the other numbers, front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Back in a minute, kicking it off. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Live radio, everybody. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here for 2 hours on Sunday, leading into the WWE Night of Champions pay-per-view. You know the gimmick for Night of Champions, Mike? It's all of the champions are defending their titles.
Yeah?
I just wanted to mention that.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we've got the two Seth Rollins matches.
So it's kind of like the old Clash of the Champions.
Kind of, except I don't know if those were all... Was there a deal where every champion always defended every title at Clash of Champions?
No, you just, at the beginning at least, it was just all about the title matches because they had so many. You get the U.S. Tag Team title match, you get the World TV title match, things like that. And then, of course, obviously, world title matches like Ric Flair and Sting, the match that made Sting so many years ago when Crockett engulfed the UWF, and here we are that many years later, and now Sting's wrestling Seth Rollins. But as time went on, obviously they got a little worse and a little worse until we bottomed out there at the end, and they stopped running them during the Attitude Nitro era.
For those of you that missed the first segment of this, the Brian and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, we've had a bunch of matches here. Our predictions are that Sting is going to lose in some form or fashion to Seth Rollins, so Seth will retain the WWE title. John Cena probably beating Seth Rollins for the U.S. title, since that makes the most sense. There's no reason for Seth Rollins to have both of those titles. John Cena can do his U.S. title open challenge on Raw every Monday night, which was actually one of the better segments of the show over the last 6 months, and they haven't been able to do it since he lost that title to Seth Rollins. Nikki Bella and Charlotte. Charlotte likely winning the title tonight. We've also got Dolph Ziggler versus Rusev. Summer Rae, obviously, is in Rusev's corner. And the best finish that I heard for that match was from Dave last night, who suggested that Summer Rae needs to inadvertently, or maybe non-inadvertently, advertently, inadvertently, one way or the other, she needs to cost Rusev the match. So you, as a viewer, think, oh, did she mean to do that? Was she meaning to help Dolph Ziggler, or was it an accident? And this plays into the storyline of, are Dolph and Summer really a thing? Are they not? What does Lana think about all of this? Where's she at in her recovery? A lot of questions can be opened up with the right finish on tonight's show.
You're going to be so happy about this, aren't you?
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, it should probably be good no matter what it is that they do, hopefully at least. I just wish they would get it over with relatively soon, though. I have a feeling this is going to end with Lana back with Rusev and Summer Rae, at least with Dolph. Maybe even if it's only for a second before Dolph drops her or she drops him or whatever the situation may be. But I'm ready to see Lana and Rusev move on. I know you love this soap opera storyline. And I got to admit, many times it's been good. Most of that, I think, has got to do with Rusev. But I'm not as enthralled with hot, submissive Summer as so many other people seem to be.
Man, Mike, I don't know what you want out of wrestling.
That's
well, you want everyone to retain their masks? You want all of these storylines to not be soap opera? What are you waiting for here?
I want everyone to, yes, I want men to retain their masks.
It ain't the 80s anymore, Mike.
And I want boys to be taken by Silas Young, which happened on Friday night as well. Now, there's a storyline with, as you fall all over this Rusev, you know, the love square or whatever it is here with the, you know, three of the worst actors in the world, and Rusev.
What are you talking? Have you seen bad acting?
We've got boys already been put to work by the last real man, Silas Young, and I have not heard. I'm going to double check on Twitter right now. I'm gonna check Facebook and MySpace and any other possible thing that could be out there, because conspicuous by his absence, as his boys are being used by the last real man, Silas Young, not a word, not a peep out of Dalton Castle.
Yeah, he's standing up there in the balcony looking sad, I heard.
Like Sting?
Yeah, actually, that's the way it was, well, not quite like Sting, but that's the way it was described. The boys, for those of you that missed the ROH pay-per-view, Dalton Castle lost, and so Silas Young has gained possession of the boys. And at the last set of tapings, the boys have now been recostumed by Silas Young. They're wearing wife beaters, as you would expect from Silas Young. And they're out there chopping wood, I guess. And meanwhile, poor Dalton Castle has been sitting up there in the balcony, sadly looking on at his boys down there in the ring being turned into men by
Silas Young. Do you think those
boys
will be able to grow any hair? Do you think Silas is going to give them some hair? I mean, he's got enough.
Just take away their razors.
That's, well, I don't know. Those boys look naturally smooth. I don't.
Now, getting back to this thing, Mike, this Lana and Rusev and Summer and Dolph thing, what wrestling universe are you living in where this is considered bad acting?
You think Summer Rae is a good actress? I mean...
She's great in the role of Summer Rae, who's clearly lying about everything.
I guess. Look, Lana is Lana. I mean, Lana hasn't been good, although then again, the whole thing with her and Dolph, has got his strengths and his weaknesses. The fact that he's a complete overacting ham with really bad one-liners.
He's got terrible comedy.
I mean, absolutely awful. And the fact that he's had no chemistry with Lana doesn't help. I don't think he's got any real chemistry with Summer Rae either. But then again, Rusev has been the best part of all this. As long as he's involved with it, it should be entertaining. And if he's not going to be in a picture of strength at the top of the card, I guess why not be in something entertaining that'll just kind of toe the line? I don't think it, in this day and age, it's going to ruin Rusev or anything like this. Because as long as he can beat somebody up, and again, he hasn't been truly embarrassed in all this. And even at the end, even if the swerve comes and, gotcha, Rusev, everything's been against you and everything's been turned upside down for him, nobody's going to care about that if the next week he comes out and just, murders Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley or something like that.
Now, getting back to this show, we've got the six-man tag. Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, and Braun Strowman are going to be facing Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and a mystery partner. At this moment, I don't know who the mystery partner is going to be. I do know a few things. This may have nothing to do with this match, but Wade Barrett should be back at any time. He's done filming his movie. I don't think he's going to be one of the partners. Chris Jericho is there. I don't know if that means he's going to be the partner. I suppose it's possible. Maybe he won't do anything. But apparently Chris Jericho is there, and Kane is also backstage. Now, Kane, the last we saw of him, had his ankle destroyed by Seth Rollins. And so if Seth Rollins ends up losing the title to John Cena, the U.S. title, it could be as a result of interference on the part of Kane. They also could bring Kane back in the Sting match for a real hot false finish where everybody thinks that Kane has cost Seth Rollins the world title to Sting, but Seth Rollins ends up kicking out. There's going to be some sort of surprise of some sort in one of the Seth Rollins matches tonight. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm just trying to piece all of this together here.
Is it too simplistic? Because the whole story with Seth Rollins has been either Big Show or Kane has saved him or has put him in the position to be where he is at every single time, day in, day out, and most of the time it has been Kane. Now that The Undertaker is out of the picture, there's going to be no angle back in that way for Kane to come back. So would it be too obvious that he comes out, it's the big swerve, he costs him the belt, but at the end... Or doesn't cost Rollins the belt. He actually helps him keep the belt. And then he not turns on him, but stays with the Authority, but gets his revenge and his manhood back on Rollins tonight and tomorrow night on Raw. Is that just too obvious? Because it plays continuous into the storyline, especially when he loses to Cena later, that, he always needs help to hold on to his belt.
Now, here's the deal. It's September, and it's football season. And
nuh-uh.
I don't think there's going to be much happening exciting-wise, between now and January. This is usually the slow season.
Hey, look, the Falcons are undefeated right now. That's exciting.
It's a slow season for WWE from now until January. And so Seth Rollins is going to need I hesitate to even say this, but he's going to need some sort of challenger for the world title. And you could do, I don't think they're going to do another Sting match. Maybe they will. I can't see him having Sting lose again to Seth Rollins, but I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if Kane returned and they teased, do some sort of deal where he attempts to cost Seth the match against Sting. Somehow Seth survives, he doesn't lose the title, but now you get to do the Sting or the Seth Rollins versus Kane match that they teased for months and months and months and months and months and never delivered. I mean, now's the time to do it.
I got one for you.
Period. If you're going to do it now.
I got one for you. Kane goes out. He does not help Seth win. You know, he is out there. He's a distraction for Seth. Ultimately, he ends up helping Seth get the win. He ends up.
I don't know what that was.
Ends up helping Seth get the win.
That's the show today, is what that was.
But
hold that thought, Mike. Let's head to a break, and we'll pick it up when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Hey, what's up, everybody? Brian Alvarez here. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA. Mike Sempervivi is here. And we are having a day.
I don't think the soothing tones of that bumper music coming back in here fit to what tonight's show's been
what
like.
What are you talking about? That was perfect.
We need that angry Avenged Sevenfold song.
No. Let's keep things calm here, Mike. Let's keep things calm. I don't know where we were when we went to break. You were talking about something.
Probably.
I don't even know what it was.
But doesn't matter.
Let's continue on with this card here. And that's the story, everybody. We just keep going. Never give up, as John Cena would say. Just keep going.
You got to call it in the ring. You know, things start to fall apart.
So I've been doing for 45 minutes here, actually, Mike.
Damn right, you got to keep it together, a professional such as yourself.
And the New Day is facing the Dudleys for the WWE Tag Team titles. And the Dudleys, in the odds, 45-1 favorites. This is a great example of, I believe that's a 45-1 favorite to get their hand raised. I believe it will be a disqualification. I mean, unless they think that the Dudleys have a very, very short shelf life, and they want to give them their 10th championship reign and get it over with and then move on with the tag team division, there's no other reason I can think of them switching the titles tonight. The New Day, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Mike. I got a bunch of tweets about this and emails. The ROH ran the television tapings or whatever it was last night, and the New Day, someone told me the New Day was the most popular act on the show. People doing New Day chants, all excited. New Day is hot right now. Do not take the titles off these men.
Absolutely not. And in fact, what you should do is a double turn. These network shows are network shows. They are not pay-per-views. Even though they are pay-per-views, in WWE's mind, they're not pay-per-views, and you're stupid to play a full pay-per-view price for them. So, because of that, why not have a title switch next month on the Live from Madison Square Garden show? Why? Because the New Day is so incredibly popular. Why not have them? And because Bubba Ray and D-Von are so good, especially Bubba, why not have a double turn happen? Because Bubba can get people to hate him easily. You know, there's always going to be people that will love the Dudleys, but even when people love the Dudleys, they love to boo the Dudleys. You know what I mean? So why not go ahead and pull that off and do that now? I know that the primetime players have a certain ceiling, but still get them involved in something else. Try to, while they're still, you know, there's still some heat on them, keep them going with somebody else too, and just go ahead and do it that way and wait till next month and pull off the title switch then.
I know what we were talking about. The mystery partner, I would expect tonight to be Randy Orton. We rattled off all of the various names. You were talking about Kane. Anyway, I don't think Kane or any of these guys. I think Randy Orton is the most likely mystery partner. And I guess I would say maybe Chris Jericho would be my second guess, but I think it's going to be Randy.
Is The Rock at the Emmys tonight?
I don't know where The Rock is, but I haven't heard anything about him being there. The Emmys are tonight.
You do have that, because here's the thing. Wade Barrett, you know, if he's
it
coming
ain't Wade.
Back. Well, there's the whole thing. He would come back with Stardust. Kane, it would be idiotic any other way that he comes back. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, even in the slightest. He's got his beef with Seth Rollins or with the Authority. That's how he's got to come back. Chris Jericho could be an option because Chris Jericho could get choked out by Strowman. And I don't think have a problem with it. And it would be, match-wise, quality-wise, as far as keeping that thing together and getting it going. You know, even though the Jericho-Bray Wyatt feud was not great and it fell flat, him being involved in this could be something good. And you know the good guys are probably going to go over this anyway. So who does that leave? It leaves Randy Orton, and Randy Orton was laid out by Strowman already, so unless he's not going to be on the card at all, that is the most obvious thing.
Speaking of, the opener, the dark match, the pre-show's kicking off here in 15 minutes, everybody. We'll be covering it live here on the program, whatever there is to cover. Neville and the Lucha Dragons, Kalista and Sin Cara, facing the cosmic wasteland of Stardust and the Ascension. That is the pre-show match. Realistically, it does not matter one bit who wins, although, because they just put the cosmic wasteland together, they may as well pin Sin Cara.
I hope like crazy that the new breed were not around for a very long period of time. And it was Chris Champion and Sean Royal, I believe it was. Mark Royal, Sean Royal, can't remember, but it was a Royal. And in Crockett's NWA, and they had these wacky promos, and many times they weren't good. I mean, at all. You know, they were very wacky. As you go back and listen to them, they talked about being from 2000, where Dusty Rhodes would be president. You know, they came from a different era, and this they were doing this in about 1987 or so. They feud with Jimmy Valiant and Lasertron, if that tells you anything. But to me, they should just repackage the Ascension, and I don't know what gimmick you could give them that could be any good. So them just being complete bombastic, moronic idiots like Stardust and being completely out of their minds and dressed up like, you know, some sort of updated vision of the new breed would probably be the best way to go.
Let's go to the phones. 1-800-878-PLAY is the phone number. There are four other numbers heading directly into the studio available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. But let's see who this is on the east of the Rockies line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Of course it is! Yes, Ryan.
I want to give a report on what happened at the TNA show in Morgantown because it's pretty big what happened.
Oh, I can imagine. Is this the one that allegedly drew 80?
It drew about 400 people, I think.
Oh, really? How about that? All right, what happened?
Bob Ryder probably claimed 4,000.
Sure.
Well, Chase Owens made his debut. He wrestles for New Japan. He won with a package pile driver against Global Force Wrestling, Jason Kincaid.
Wow.
And Eli Drake debuted a new gimmick where he played a WBU dropout.
He played a WBU dropout?
Basically, he got drunk like at night and couldn't come to class and he couldn't afford to pay his bill.
Oh, WVU, West Virginia University dropout?
Right.
Wait, what house show is this?
This is the Morgantown house show.
TNA?
Right.
Okay. What else happened? What's the big news?
Well, the Cubby Pro was also there lobbying to get a tryout match. Crazy Shane and the Crazy Baker were in the audience lobbying
Cubby
to get
Pro,
a position in the company.
The Chubby Baker? Ryan, what's the big
Baker.
News? What's the big news out of the TNA house show?
Well, EC3 defended the title against Matt Hardy in a pretty good
Mike,
match.
Mike, have you noticed that every time I ask him what the big news is, he's got a different story? What's the big news? You said there was big news coming out of this house show. What was the big news?
Well, the final big news I would say is I think the same people that read the Bears Team Bears do the house show reports because it was all wrong on the website. Despite every match was incorrect, so I think your theory was right, how people have a...
Maybe, Ryan, there was an alternate timeline, and you were on an alternate timeline with different finishes at that house show. You ever thought about that?
I don't know, but I just know it's all messed up on these websites, how it's reported.
Okay, well, who won the EC3 match?
EC3 won.
Okay, so who did he beat?
He beat Matt Hardy with a leg. Blow and one with a small package.
Okay, so if I go to my website, does it say that Matt Hardy beat EC3?
I don't think it's reported on your website. For some reason, there's no posting of it. It's like it doesn't exist.
I mean, it doesn't exist.
What about in some
of the
other
multiverses? That's a third timeline right now. Yeah, we're talking three different timelines. In one timeline, which is mine, this show never took place. In Ryan's, there was a
That's what I'm hoping right now.
Different set of results than in the other shows that were reported elsewhere. Ryan, this is crazy.
Well, my theory is they were probably drinking beer and got so drunk that they misreported what happened.
Were you drinking?
I was just drinking soda.
Were you drinking?
I was drinking 7-Up.
Are you drinking right now?
No.
All right. Thank you very much for the report, Ryan. I do appreciate that. 1-800-878-PLAY, everybody. That's 1-800-878-PLAY. All of the other numbers available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com if you'd like to give us a call here today. For the next hour and 10 minutes, we're going to be taking calls. So fill me in. What happened at the TNA house show in your town? In your timeline? That's what I want to know here today. I did get a report. This is from somebody who I trust. said that they went to the TNA house show last night in Pittsburgh. Outside of Pittsburgh, it was...
Is that the Bell Vernon one?
I don't know how to pronounce this, so I'm going to try, which will get everybody in Philadelphia upset with me, or Pennsylvania. Rostaver? Did I pronounce it? Anyway.
I'd have to look at it, but if it's outside of Pittsburgh, don't compare those people to Philadelphia. They'll be very, very upset with you.
Okay, this person who I trust, this is not just some random person who I've never heard from before, says the show drew about 80 paid, and there were 180 in the building total. And I know that there's been, it's been very, I guess that various TNA employees have been talking about how these numbers being bandied around on the internet are incorrect, and that the numbers are significantly higher, perhaps not recognizing that I've also been getting photos of the crowds, and I have not seen a crowd that looked like it had 700 people there, or anywhere close.
Well, yeah, I guess the deal is they're claiming, Bob Ryder is claiming, 850.
850?
And then 500 in Morgantown, and then 750 in Bell Vernon.
Does he have a attendance for Rostaver?
No, I guess. Would the first night be Rostaver then?
I don't know. This is last night, so this would have been Saturday.
Now, I guess they got a bunch of shows coming up in Louisiana, Mississippi, at least, because I know where some of these places are. I don't know where it could be a Beckley and a Salem anywhere, but in Thibodeau, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and then Biloxi, which I would assume Biloxi would be at a casino or something like that. But apparently they're going to be continuing to run some house shows of some kind, and I don't know. Maybe I'm assuming they are picking these places because they're able to use local talent, much like Ryan had kind of sort of talked about when he called.
Well, I know that there was also apparently another show that ran in West
Selling
Newton, which is 5 miles from Rostaver. And this indie show drew 220, so they outdrew TNA in paid attendance.
Oof.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get an update on Twitter. I hear that's where all of the news updates about TNA attendance come from, but maybe we'll get that later on in the show here today. The WWE Night of Champions pre-show is getting ready to kick off on the WWE Network. Obviously, Raw is tomorrow, and we're going to be talking an hour or two about a lot of other stories, including the Ring of Honor pay-per-view from Friday night, which I very much enjoyed. There was the CMLL anniversary show with Atlantis losing his mask to La Sombra, which is sent Dave Meltzer and Mike Sempervivi into conniptions. We've also got the Dynamite One show, a very wacky show last night that involved Tito Ortiz at 40 fighting for a championship in the main event, mixed martial arts fights, and kickboxing fights on the same show, all airing on Spike TV. So we can talk about that and a lot of other news as well. Mike, have you gotten a chance, by the way, to see the main event of the CMLL anniversary show yet?
I have indeed.
Saw the main event?
Yeah. And it's, you know, this is the third year in a row I've been drawn into watching the anniversary show. And it's available on YouTube, which is unfortunate because I guess everybody who paid for it, at the same time they were paying for it to watch it, it was available on YouTube. But when we get back in the little short segment here coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll...
Or the top of the
hour.
Let
you know what I think.
Yeah. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Well, we're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. The WWE Night of Champions pre-show is getting ready to kick off here. We're going to be covering that in hour two live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Also talking about the Dynamite show, the CMLL anniversary show, the Ring of Honor pay-per-view from Friday night. Quite a week last week with all of those Ring of Honor guests on the show. Very sad that we talked to Dalton Castle and he was so confident only to have his hopes and dreams dashed when Silas Young gained possession of them boys.
That's what happens when you mess with a real man, I guess. But a lot of stuff. There was a Titan FC show on UFC Fight Pass. There was a New Japan show on New Japan World Today. There was just stuff all over this weekend.
What did you watch? Did you watch the little Ring of Honor show?
No, I still haven't even had a chance to see that yet. So I'm still waiting to see that. You know, I saw most of the CMLL show. I got a chance to see the Strikeforce show, that whatever it's called, the
Bellator
slash Glory Dynamite show. Got a chance to see that, even though that was, we'll talk about it, you know, after the break. It was very, it was something.
That was not me,
like
everybody.
Show.
I don't know where that mystery voice came from. But yeah, we're going to talk all about that. And speaking of calls, as a segue, we're going to be taking calls now or two. 1-800-878-PLAY is the phone number. That is 1-800-878-PLAY. Four other numbers linked up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. It is open lines today. You can call about anything you want, not just the WWE Night of Champions pay-per-view. If you've got feedback on any of the shows from this weekend, you're welcome to call us about that. If you've been to any TNA house shows, hey, give us a call about that as well. But we're going to kick it off after the break. We're starting fresh at the top of the hour. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Here for 2 hours every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. And we got a lot of stuff to get into here today. We're going to take your phone calls coming up here. After the first break, it is WWE Night of Champions Day here on the program. And so we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We spent the first hour going over all of the matches on the card, giving our predictions, even talking about the odds. And normally, when the odds are this long, God, my own phone's acting up now. When the odds are this long, that usually means these are the finishes. Now, doesn't specify pinfall or submission, so who even knows what all of that means? But we're going to get into it here today on the program. And, of course, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-PLAY. Tons of other numbers available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. We've got the K1 Dynamite Show. Tito Ortiz in the main event losing to Liam McGeary in a match that Tito was actually... It's always weird to say this, Mike, but Tito was winning until he lost. He was triangled, reverse triangle, inverted triangle, they called it, and he submitted, and he did not win the title, but a very, very good performance by Tito Ortiz, despite the fact that he is 40 years old. So we can talk about that if you've got any comments on Dynamite, a very, very well-produced show. Not sure I agree with the whole idea of doing Glory kickboxing matches on an MMA show. As an MMA fan, I was largely bored by the Glory kickboxing matches. We can talk about that. Mike has got a lot of thoughts as well about the CMLL anniversary show, Mask versus Mask, Atlantis versus La Sombra. So we can talk about that on the program tonight. And plenty of other stuff as well. So we're going to kick off hour two after the break, everybody. So stick around. We'll be back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. News today, Night of Champions. We got so much stuff to talk about here on the program. You'll never believe this, everybody, but we're live. And we're here taking your calls, 1-800-878-PLAY. And why waste time? Let's go to the phones right now, west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Brian, it's Chris in Las Vegas. And I'm just going to go ahead and talk, and then I'll take whatever you say off the air. Good to go? Great.
I am good to go, baby. What's going on?
So, number one, tonight at the Night of Champions, I actually think Sting will be taking the belt home. Why? Because then we can erase any existence to of WCW. He can call this the greatest belt and title that he's ever won. All the other stuff that he's done is not to the level of what he has done now. And they don't really mention it anyway, but it'll erase any last existence. Number two, I heard you guys arguing about John Cena turning heel, and I know it's beating a dead horse because they'll probably never
ever do it.
But when Hulk Hogan turned heel on WCW at Bash at the Beach, I leapt out of my seat, and I cheered because I had been booing this guy for at least 2 years before in WCW, and I cheered him, and I said, yes, finally, I can hate them, and everybody else can hate them with me. And they ended up selling tons of merchandise, became popular, it revitalized his career, and it, as long as you have an opponent for John Cena, it could be the best thing going today.
Okay, woo! Who's his opponent, Chris? What happened? He just hung up. That was not a technical difficulty. Chris ranted so loud that he disconnected himself. You know what's funny about this John Cena thing? I don't want to waste time on it today. We talked about it on Friday, I think it was, or Thursday, whenever it was, but somebody tweeted me afterwards, and it might have been Sammy, said something to the effect of, everybody's booing the guy now, so if you turn him heel, then he'll get more cheers. And I was like, what? So we're turning him heel so he gets cheered?
It's kind of how this works now with like New Day and all those sorts of things. That you could say that, I guess, and you could, I guess, try to draw that conclusion. I would disagree, at least short term. And realistically, it's not about him getting booed. It's about him having to now cheat and to do underhanded things. And then you have the problem like Stephanie being, you know, Mother Teresa in one part of Raw and then this evil witch at the other part of Raw. Same thing would then happen with John Cena. You don't want that. I get it as a wrestling fan, but you do have to understand the whole, all the politics and the business of this and accept it and move on, and that's what it is, okay? Just hope that John Cena continues to have good U.S. title matches on Raw. You could go back to, if Owens wins the title, at some point you can go back to Owens and Cena, possibly for the Royal Rumble, for you know, that type of match. I don't know what part Cena's going to play at Mania, but if you wanted to wait and build that up, you know, they'd have a hell of a match. And if you think about it, wrestling match-wise, with what we already are thinking about with WrestleMania, you know, there's a lot of spectacle on that show, but there may not be a lot of great wrestling. And I'm not saying Cena's, you know, it's not going to Mr. Five Star Special or anything, but, you know, the big match John thing, and you know Owens is good. I mean, hell, I'll take that on WrestleMania. I'll be completely fine with that. And just want to say something else about tonight. If you go with what Chris said and have Sting win the belt, these matches with Seth Rollins are going back to back. And unless you want to make Seth Rollins a babyface,
wait, they are?
Yes, unless you want to make Seth Rollins a babyface, like
they're
right
back
now,
to back. He's doing one right after the other.
Yeah, that's
since
what
when?
You do. Yeah, they've announced that
he's going to do one match, and when the bell rings, the next match starts.
Yes, the WWE Network retweeted a tweet from the WWE Universe where Sheamus found out by talking to Brandi Rhodes. What is her name in WWE? What is it?
It doesn't matter, but anyway.
Yeah, her. That Sheamus found out that Rollins' matches would be back-to-back, and he was clutching and hugging his Money in the Bank
wow.
briefcase. Clutching and hugging his Money in the Bank briefcase, obviously teasing that would be an advantage for him tonight. And here's the one thing about Seth Rollins. He is amazing. It's even though he is booked to be a complete geek when it comes to defending his title, you know, the athleticism is completely, you know, unsurpassed. It's absolutely amazing. And we talked to Roderick Strong, and those guys are, you know, in different ways, but in classes, you know, somewhat of their own. And the new athlete is pretty amazing in wrestling. But again, unless you want him to be the biggest baby face in the world coming out of this, how in the world can you have him lose the Sting, then have a long fought match, and then lose to Cena, who obviously always gets booed, like we just talked about? You know, unless you're going to try to get sympathy on him right away or send him in that direction where it leads to him in Triple H, or it leads to him being out of the Authority and possibly facing members of the Authority. There's no way you would do that tonight. To me, again, he beats Sting somehow underhanded. He loses to John Cena, you know, straight up with a pin, no matter how it leads to it, he's going to be pinned. So you still have the story coming out of this that Seth can't win the big one on his own. He can never win without help. And things backfire on him and he doesn't come up big, which continues the tension with him in the Authority and him thinking he's bigger than he is. And you have Sting get screwed. I don't think anybody cares about that. And you have Cena back with the U.S. title. Everybody's happy. It seems very simple, simple in just the way they should probably go.
Okay, well, take a breath for a second. I got to go back to this John Cena thing. John Cena now is nothing like Hulk Hogan in 1995, 1996. John Cena is the biggest money draw they have right now. Hulk Hogan, when he was getting booed, Hulk Hogan, before he turned, he had been gone for months. He had been gone for months. There were other guys. There was Randy Savage drawing money at the house shows. There was Ric Flair drawing money at the house shows. Hogan wasn't even around. The Hogan thing had run its course business-wise. That is not the case with John Cena. Yes, somebody's going to call and say, Brian, the Raw ratings are down 25% over... That's correct. That's correct. And you know what else is consistent over the last 3 years? The show went 3 hours. If you take John Cena off that show, if John Cena disappeared tomorrow, this company would be in much, much worse shape. Furthermore, for those of you that are sick of John Cena, all you will accomplish by turning John Cena heel is he'll be the top guy again. He'll be the top heel. And since they have a very limited roster, he'll be facing all the same guys that we've seen him face for 10 years. He'll be facing Randy Orton with Randy Orton as a babyface. He'll be facing Sheamus. He'll be facing The Big Show. He'll be facing whoever. We'll see the same matches all over again with him on the other side. I don't need to see that. I'm happy with John Cena, U.S. Champion babyface, working the first hour of Raw, defending his belt, and then somebody else is in the main event and they try and create some new stars. The last thing this business needs right now is to turn John Cena heel. Now.
Eden is her name.
Yeah, she's cute. Hey, let's go to the East of the Rockies line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Sammy from New Jersey.
Oh, hey, Sammy, what's up?
Hey, I want to be clear. I didn't say that that's why you should turn him heel. I'm saying that everyone says, well, you boo him anyways, but a funny result would be he would get more cheers as a heel. That's not a reason to turn him heel, clearly.
Well, then we would have a top heel that everybody's cheering, which would If you've got a baby face, let's say that you turn Roman Reigns, like the Roman Reigns is the big baby face to face heel John Cena. Now the poor baby face is going to get booed because they're cheering John Cena the heel.
Yeah, I know. I think they should turn him heel just because it would be different. But in thinking about things, it doesn't address the real problem. But I really did want to talk about the Nick Diaz situation real quick.
Well, listen, stand by because we're about to go to the break. And when we come back, we'll have you talk about the Nick Diaz situation. There you go, everybody. The kickoff show is taking place right now. Nikki's hyping up her match with Charlotte. We'll talk about that after the break as well. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Well, you're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Sammy is on the line right now. Wants to talk about Nick Diaz. Sammy, what's up?
Okay. So, just to let people know, I do believe it should be legalized. I'm more pro on that, but I tend to take your and Dave's side on Nick Diaz has kind of brought this on himself a lot more than anything else. But I work in a doctor's office in New Jersey, deal with Quest Diagnostics all the time. In fact, between them and LabCorp, they're the two major testing facilities for blood tests, et cetera, urine tests in the area, accepted by pretty much all insurances, one or the other. And A little conspiracy theorist in me, after hearing the Tom Hauser article, started to question more the two past tests than the Quest test, because Quest has no connection to the sport at all, but USADA is directly tied to the sport. And I did want to ask a question. I was reading the USADA response to the article, and towards the end of the section, it says, in professional boxing, USADA does not have the authority to prevent a fight from occurring. This decision must be made by the appropriate boxing commission, promoters, et cetera, et cetera. So they're basically saying that, at least in boxing, they're useless from stopping a fight with cheaters. I was wondering if they have that authority in UFC and other sports. And, yeah, it requires a little bit of paranoia or conspiracy theories, but I'm leaning towards that the second test is more accurate than the first and third, even though that's a little crazy to say. That's it.
Well, the second test was the high one, right?
And that's the one performed by Quest, who's not tied to USADA at all, who, like I said, I've dealt with...
Well, listen, I know what you're saying. Okay, so first off, I want to thank you very much for the call. I understand that it is really weird that there were three tests that Nick Diaz took. One of them, two of them, the first one and the third one, he would have passed. The second one was sky high. Their level is 150. Which is three times what it used to be, by the way. It used to be 50. You had to be below 50 to pass. They multiplied it by three. You have to be below 150 now. And two of his tests were below 150, and one of them was all the way up at 750. Now, I had somebody email me who said that they had seen a lot of guys fail drug tests. And he said that while the 750 was very, very high, he's seen plenty higher. And the point that he made was, it's not so much, like, I do not smoke weed. I've never smoked weed. So it wouldn't be an issue where if I smoked a half hour before a fight, it might spike to a certain level, which it would, obviously. But the bigger reason that they see those huge numbers is guys who are chronic smokers. So it's like the way he explained it was, it's kind of like a buildup, which would be the easiest way to describe it. So he says, I've seen people with 1,000, I've seen people with 2,000. They're just chronic smokers. And his belief was that the reason the test results were weird had to do with the amount of water in Diaz's body. So when Diaz took the pre-fight test, he was well hydrated, and so his levels ended up being below 150. So then he goes out there, he fights, he's severely dehydrated afterwards, he comes back in, and because he's so dehydrated, they test him, and now the level is all the way up at 750. So then he goes and he rehydrates himself, he drinks a whole bunch of water, they test him a third time, and lo and behold, it's down below 150 again. So this would explain three totally different readings. It's actually two totally different readings, because the first and the third were low and the middle one was high. And it wouldn't be some sort of conspiracy where one lab didn't know what they were doing, or it was a weird test, or the test was inaccurate. It would just be these numbers were skewed because of the amount of water in the guy's body. So that's my take on it. As far as USADA being able to stop fights, I don't think they can stop fights for boxing, mixed martial arts, or anything. They would send the results to the promotion and to the athletic commission, and they would be responsible for preventing the fight from taking place. So I don't think that USADA has the authority to stop anything. All they are, they're just taking tests and reporting results to the governing bodies.
I ever never smoked marijuana either, Brian. See, USADA's brought in by the promoters. You know, that's been the whole thing. Mayweather for years has said, you know, he wanted Olympic testing. He wanted Olympic testing with all of his opponents. And, you know, they are, what happens with them, it doesn't supersede the commission. The commission picks the judges. They pick the referees. They have the ground rules. And, you know, in a way, speaking of marijuana, it's kind of like one of those things where, you know, no matter what your state says, federally, it's still illegal. And no matter what USADA does, if, you know, they can't stop a fight from going on because they've got really nothing to do with it other than they may cause public damage by finding out that somebody is testing positive for something, which, unfortunately, in the case that Thomas Hauser brought up of Eric Morales, where it seemed to be that USADA helped circumvent everything and get that fight and help Golden Boy let that fight go on, even though Morales was dead to rights for a drug that's not for use in this country, and suggesting, this is what Thomas Hauser's article said, and I'm obviously paraphrasing badly here, but, you know, basically suggesting that Morales ingested contaminated beef that had this clopidogrel or whatever it was in it. To which everybody, or not everybody, but it was, you know, brought up quickly that, you know, that's not how this works. That the people have tried to bring this up in the Olympics and in the past. Well, I must have eaten something. You know, Alistair Overeem brought it up with the horse meat. You know, it must have been a problem with that horse meat I ate over in Japan. So, you know, they know it's a garbage argument. So, again, that Hauser article did a lot of damage. Nationally, it's probably not a big deal. It's bubbling under the surface, but it could be something later on that could always be brought up. And, you know, Mayweather at this point, you know, now that he's quote unquote retired, from this point forward, he can't do anything about his legacy. He's already done as much as really as he can, other than to try to change his private persona into something, you know, the dumpster fire that it is. He could try to work on that. But when it comes to his fight career, You know, that there's nothing else he can do now. Obviously, he could fight again, but we're at the end of it. Now it's going to be for the pundits. It's going to be for the critics. It's going to be for a lot of people to reflect back upon and start to pick apart. And there's a lot of people who think Floyd Mayweather's one of the greatest fighters of all time, like a top three, top five kind of guy. There's a lot of people who don't even think as great of a fighter as he is. He's not even top five of the last 30 years. You know, could he beat Sugar Ray Leonard in his prime? Could he beat Pernell Whitaker in his prime? Could he beat Julio Cesar Chavez at, you know, or Tito Trinidad at 147 when Trinidad was really strong? You know, these are real legitimate questions. And now with this being brought up that you know, examples were going to be made, it doesn't kill Mayweather's rep, but it adds another notch of for people who want to criticize him and people who are not fans of his to look at and go, you know, you were calling for this testing the whole time. You know, this isn't as bad as Rafael Palmeiro, you know, shaking his finger in front of Congress saying, I never used a performance enhancer. And then, you know, it coming out that, you know, he is, you know, been on them. It's not to that point, but it shines a light of if you could have exemptions, if you could have this, if you could have that, if you could have the other. Yeah, OK, it was only an IV and it really wasn't that big a deal in the grand scheme of things. But how long were you willing to work with them and throw that money around that you like to talk about? And, you know, it just brings a negative light onto to kind of everything. And unfortunately for the UFC, with trying to bring USADA on and really be proactive in changing the game and do what the commissions just can't do nationwide, it doesn't help their cause.
Okay, really quickly here, I want to say one thing about Diaz that could potentially be a defense of him as well, and might suggest that maybe there was an issue with testing. If the deal with Diaz is that he had a certain level, he got dehydrated, and when he tested, the levels therefore were sky high, why doesn't this happen with everybody else? There should be other people who have low levels, they get dehydrated after a fight, and they're tested, and the levels are therefore sky high. If it's not happening with other people, maybe there was something questionable about the test that he took, and the fact that they
were... I could believe that he got high in the corner.
I don't think so.
He somehow vaped in the corner from a water bottle. It was an amazing thing. If anybody could do it, I would believe that the Diaz brothers have pulled this off.
All right, let's go to Ian in San Antonio. Ian?
Yep, I'm here.
Well, what's happening?
Nothing much. So is your wife is pregnant?
Yes, she is.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, so I want to talk about Seth Rollins and Jay Lethal. So a comparison is the contrasting of them being double champions. I think that, you know, I watched the Ring of Honor pay-per-view on Friday. I didn't go, even though it was here, but I did watch it. And, you know, I think they did a good job with making him, like, you know, get booed by the audience, which is hard to do because they all like him because he's such a great wrestler and he's been doing this for a long time. And I think they did a good job. And I didn't see the Adam Cole thing coming into right before it happened. You know, they shot him into him, then he super hits him, and right before that I saw it coming. But it was, you know, still it was pretty shocking. And but I think Jay Lethal's booking as a heel, even though he had a lot of help, I think it's still somehow, I don't know, you know, I just can't put my finger on it. It just seems to me that his booking has just been better than Seth Rollins running as a double champion.
I want to thank you very much for the call. You are absolutely right, because the theory in Ring of Honor is, We got a heel champion, but you know what? He's the champ. He's the best. He may be a terrible person. You may not like him, but he's the best. And in WWE, Seth Rollins is the champion, but he's a geek. And he needs help, and he always needs someone to save him. So yes, the Ring of Honor champion is booked significantly better than the WWE champion. I'm going to talk more about that after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Sitting here watching the Night of Champions pre-show, and the Ascension trying desperately to do Lucha Libre with the Lucha Dragons, which is a lot of fun. So we'll follow this as we go, everybody. Also taking your phone calls, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-PLAY. As well as all of the other numbers available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, taking calls for the next 20 minutes here. This, by the way, is one of four shows I am doing today. I've got three more coming later on tonight. After Night of Champions, it'll be the Brian and Vinny show. Myself and Vinny running down the full Night of Champions pay-per-view card. This is only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. I'll also be up late tonight with Dave Meltzer, also of WrestlingObserver.com, and also only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. We'll do a Wrestling Observer Radio talking Night of Champions. We'll be answering your questions from Mailbag at WrestlingObserver.com, and so much more. And tonight, free, this one is free, although subscribers get the replay immediately afterwards as a download. After Dark Radio, Rodney Asher is going to be on the show. We're talking the movie Room 237, which is a look at various conspiracy theories related to the movie The Shining. And we'll be taking your phone calls as well, talking all of the strange news. That's After Dark Radio. That airs at 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern on the Dark Matter Digital Network, which is free if you've got TuneIn Radio, which is a free app. You can also listen to it on your computer. TuneIn Radio, search Dark Matter Digital Network, After Dark Radio. I will be up live at 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern. And if you forget any of this, just follow me on Twitter, because I will be constantly reminding you, at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Semper Vivi. Sports Byline is at Sports Byline USA. And the commercial-free download of this wondrous show today will be available for subscribers about 10 minutes after the show goes off the air as well, so you can all look forward to that. Sign up is what I'm trying to say, everybody. You will not regret the 7,000 archived shows that you will have instant access to as a subscriber at WrestlingObserver.com. How could you not want to subscribe after today's show? I almost said survive.
Well, because then you could hear exactly what went on with some of the early audio nightmares of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. And you could compare and contrast. And then when you're done with that, you could actually listen to all the reasons that you should be a member at F4WOnline.com, and including the shows you're going to do tonight with Vinny and with Dave Meltzer. But watch me transition. Now, the Lucha Dragons were in the ring. We just had a really awesome exchange between Stardust and Kalisto. And Kalisto wears a mask. And La Sombra used to wear a mask up until Friday night, where at the CMLL 82nd anniversary show, Atlantis took his mask. And Atlantis has been around. And give or take, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's been wrestling for 116 years. And in that time, he has collected, give or take, 457 masks. I understand why it's important for a man to hold on to his mask forever. I think Atlantis holding on to his mask forever would be a good idea. Be hard to top that match he had with Ultimo Guerrero last year. I mean, that was a epic build-up. It was an epic match. The pomp, all of the stuff that went around it, it was awesome. It was really the spectacle of the year last year. It really, really was. When you include everything into that match, the emotion, the whole nine yards, the tradition, it was amazing. You got to kind of do that every year. 2 years ago, it was Volador Jr. who wrestled La Sombra and lost his mask. And since that point, and I'm not the biggest Lucha Libre fan as I'm a big Lucha Libre fan, but I don't overthink it too much. You know, I do this with New Japan. I do it with all of this stuff we obviously talk about on a regular basis on this show. In a way, I don't want to ruin my experience watching Lucha by overthinking it too much. But I do, to me, it feels as though since Volador Jr. has lost his mask, it hasn't exactly been the same. And La Sombra was one of the last guys, and really was the last guy out there, that really harkened back to me of a different era. And again, I'm a casual Lucha Libre fan. You get a lot of Spanish channels. Any of the Lucha that comes on there, I'm going to watch. Any of the programming that comes on, I'm gonna check out. But again, I'm not going to overanalyze anything. But I did know, with Sombra being a Japanese wrestling fan, that he looked great in his matches with Nakamura when he held the IWGP Intercontinental title. A lot of people probably don't realize that. Had an awesome match with Nakamura. Did a moonsault off the lighting rig. I mean, they just had a couple really, really good matches. And he could go everywhere with that mask, like Emil Mascaris in the past. He could go everywhere with that thing, like Dos Caras did. You know, in going, both of those guys being famous in America and being legendary in Mexico and influential in Japan where a lot of people don't realize that, you know, Mil Máscaras, we hear about his matches with Cactus Jack, you know, late in his career, but you don't hear about the matches he would have with the Destroyer in Japan way, way back that were really, really awesome. And Sombra could kind of be that guy. He looked good. You know, Dave talked about him in a suit. It did. It looked right. You know, the throwback from the past. And he was one of the last guys left. And he probably is the last guy left where that mask was going to be important. And he could go around and collect other masks and be the guy from the past. But unfortunately, it seemed like tradition has killed tradition. You know, with you running out of guys for Atlantis to beat for masks and not thinking through their booking, they put themselves in a situation where they had to hotshot one of the biggest shows of the year, which took an even bigger shot when La Parca and Dr. Wagner Jr. Left the company in different ways. And like Steve said, they were going to possibly maybe hotshot Steve Sims, that was last week on the show. They were possibly talking about hotshotting them into a mask match, you know, just weeks after this show. So, I mean, it just very fly by the seat of your pants booking that long term doesn't make any sense, because now what? What's left? The mask match used to be the biggest thing in the world. And sure, Atlantis is probably going to hold on to his forever. There's still some other guys out there they could beat. But why couldn't have this been for Rush's hair? Why couldn't this have been for something else other than Sombra's mask? It doesn't make any sense, because now, you know, Dragon Rojo doesn't have, you know, that type of hold. You know, some of the other guys who are out there, neither AAA or CMLL. I mean, who's that guy going to be? You know, they had something with Sombra. He had a cool mask, which I think matters. I know a lot of people think it doesn't, but, you know, Pentagon, you know, he's got a cool mask. He's got a lot of popularity. He could be somebody maybe as time goes on, but you got a lot of time to go. And he's been around for a while. Would it really be the same thing? They had something special, I think, with Sombra. And I'm not saying they ruined it, because, again, I understand why it was important for Atlantis to win, and I have no problem. I wouldn't have broken the Undertaker's streak, and I wouldn't take the mask off Atlantis. Let him take it off on a show like Santo did, you know, days or weeks before he passes away. And even if he doesn't do that, I'm fine with that. The awesome tradition of being buried in the mask. I've never seen the guy's face. I don't care what he looks like. He looks like an old man. We know that. You know, who cares what he looks like? Let him hold on to the mask forever. But you shouldn't have sacrificed Sombra to do it, because now you have nobody down in the pipe to go.
Man, what a sad day for Mike.
But I feel a lot better because I saw Xavier Woods' hair. Did you see Xavier Woods' hair?
Hey, maybe La Sombra didn't want to wear a mask no more. Maybe thought, you know what? I'm a world-famous luchador, and my best buds don't even know who I am. They think I'm just some geek that works at a hot dog stand. I want the world to know who I am, so I want my mask taken off. You ever thought about that, Mike?
And he is a handsome man. I understand that. But, you know, Ramon Ibarra Rivera, whatever Volador's name, you know, he was not a bad-looking guy either, but...
Sure again, was. It looked just like me.
Is it, you know, is it the... Is it going to be the same without the mask? I don't think so. And, you know, the Sombra means the shadow. You know, the guy with the... I mean, shouldn't you wear a mask if you're going to be the shadow? It's like...
Maybe he's
going to
grow
a
5 o'clock
mask
shadow.
If you're going to be the, you know, El Santo, you know, the silver mask, or, you know, the medic with the white mask. If you're going to be the shadow, you should be wearing that silver, ominous, you know, shadowy mask.
Stardust and the Ascension, speaking of masks, just to spite you, Mike, they beat the Masked Men, they won the match, the Ascension.
By God, we've got trombone.
Stardust.
We've got a trombone.
Yeah, what's wrong with Xavier's hair? He's put some red in it. It looks good.
That's, we may get a trombone performance here on the pre-show, which I think when it comes to this show would be
perfect. What's that noise?
Perfect.
Is that an answering machine in your background?
No, that's the WWE app with the hopes that Xavier would bust out this trombone for us.
I see. So the Friday night show, All-Star Extravaganza, there were two Jay Lethal matches. He beat Bobby Fish for the Ring of Honor title, pulling his tights. And then later in the show, he beat Kyle O'Reilly after a very complicated finish that involved a potential Future Shock reunion, but it was dashed And Adam Cole turned on Kyle O'Reilly, giving Jay Lethal the win. And so Jay Lethal retained both titles, as a caller had noted earlier in the evening. And my... apropos the show, that right there, everybody. As I was saying...
It's all verklempt, all broken up.
Before I nearly died.
Look, I'm as upset as anyone.
Give me some water, somebody.
That the Briscoes would lose to the All Night Express. I'm not impressed that Kenny King's back. I don't care
about
that.
Hold on, let me get to my point here. Point is...
Sorry, I was giving you time.
My big question coming out of this Ring of Honor show was, are they going to do a better job with their champion, Jay Lethal, than WWE does with their champion, Seth Rollins? And we're going to find out the answer very soon, because Night of Champions is about to go on the air. And apparently, as Mike noted, the storyline tonight is not. I had heard a while ago that they were going to do the Sting match first, and they were going to follow that later in the show with the John Cena match. But now it's looking like these matches are going to go back to back. So I guess Seth is the semi-main and the main. Luckily, he's been doing plenty of CrossFit, so this shouldn't affect him in terms of wind.
Seth Rollins and Drake, back to back.
I believe that the John Cena match is scheduled to go a while, maybe 20 minutes or so. And so if the Sting match even goes 10, you're looking at 30 minutes in the ring. And the same, and here's, I want everyone to just remember this, okay? Everybody remember this. Seth Rollins has been put in a lot of situations where he's had to last a long time in the ring. Just want y'all to remember that. That may be foreshadowing for the future. And one other note that I want to make sure we get out there before we go to the break. Very, very interesting tweet just got sent out by the NXT champion Finn Balor. It is a photo of a smiling Finn Balor standing next to two young fans. Oh, wait, that's the Young Bucks. He's standing next to the Young Bucks. And the line here is, the NXT champion, and this is from Finn Balor. This is what Finn Balor has tweeted. The NXT champion bumps into the PWG tag champions in Texas on hashtag WWE Night of Champions. Coincidence, he asks, and he puts the hashtag Balor Club. And there have been a lot of rumors about the Young Bucks. I do not want to read tomorrow that I have put any stock in any rumors. I'm just telling you, there have been a lot of rumors about the Young Bucks, and if you want to attribute rumors to anybody, please attribute them to Finn Balor, care of NXT. Back in a moment with more Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Here back here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Trying to figure out what in the world Corey Graves is wearing here on the WWE Night of Champions pre-show. Show's about to kick off, everybody, and very quickly, the full card for the pay-per-view here today. Seth Rollins versus Sting, WWE World Heavyweight title. Seth Rollins versus John Cena for the WWE US title. Ryback versus Kevin Owens for the Intercontinental title. Nikki Bella versus Charlotte for the Divas title. If Nikki is counted out or DQ'd, Charlotte becomes the champion. Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and a mystery partner against the Wyatt family. Ziggler versus Rusev with Summer Rae involved somehow. And the New Day will be taking on the Dudleys for the WWE Tag Team Championships. Vinny and I are going to be up for subscribers immediately after the show. Only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. We'll do a full recap of the show, all of the news coming out of it, and more. Same thing even later on in the evening with Dave Meltzer. We'll be talking all of the news from the weekend as well. Take your questions at mailbag@WrestlingObserver.com. That also for subscribers. And free tonight at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific After Dark Radio. I will be talking sleep paralysis, The Shining, conspiracy theories, and more with Rodney Asher, who will be our guest tonight. That is live and free on the Dark Matter Digital Network. All of the information on all of these shows is available at WrestlingObserver.com, as well as my Twitter at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Sempervivi. Sports Byline is at Sports Byline USA. And Mike and I will be back tomorrow with a brand new show. We're here every day, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. I want to thank everybody at Byline, all of the callers and listeners. Mike, as always, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network.